The world keeps us connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What happens when we unplug and reflect on where we've been? Do we remember the past appropriately? Can we reflect on our present moment properly? And is our future really attainable, or is it simply an illusion? Well, this week I took some time to meditate and to think about my past in order to better understand my present. Wanted to share a few things that I learned along the way and get into some headlines today. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden here on the America Out Loud News Network. Let's get emboldened.
America Emboldened.
Great, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
And that's maybe where I'm at the present moment for today's show. I was thinking earlier today, as I'm recording Monday's show, that I put away my cell phone in the morning. A few days ago, when I got online, I saw way too many things that I did not want to see. And I discovered that those first 30 minutes of my day, spending looking at headlines, looking at emails, messages before I took a shower, that those were 30 minutes that were going to form my present moment. They were going to form whatever attitude that I had, whatever perspective I had, if I was going to be positive, if I was going to be sad, if I was going to be angry. And I realized, why am I manipulating my present moment with things that don't truly feed my soul, feed my mind, feed my spirit, when I can feed myself with things that help me focus? And so this weekend, I tried to take a better approach when waking up early to truly meditating, to truly noticing things around me and trying to be in the present. And here's what I learned. I saw for the first time in a long while, I saw my hands. Now, this is going to sound really kind of funny, maybe, to some of you. But I spent some time studying the cracks in my hands. Now, if you go to get like a hand reading, some people would call it like lifelines and love lines and all. I don't know what you'd call them. I just call them the folds and creases that I've had ever since that I was a baby. And it gives my fingers the dexterity and the ability to pick things up, put things down, have accurate movements, pinpoint movements with each of my fingers. And it's absolutely miraculous. It is miraculous in so many different ways because when you think of it, we could have any other body, but the body that you have is yours. And we are so lucky for these vehicles that we are allowed to occupy in order to live our lives. But what does this all mean? Why was I getting all kind of crazy and out there? Well, I started thinking about, you know, how long I've known my wife, different relationships I had in my life before my wife, like high school, straight on through. And I started asking myself how well I remember details of my past. And the reason why I started doing this, I was trying to figure out, does my past truly matter in a present moment? Do the distractions that we put in front of us matter in a present moment? See, living in the present means that we focus all of our attention, focus all of our energy just in the current moment. We don't dwell on the past. We don't worry about what's happening in the future. We're just fully engaged and aware of what's happening at the present moment. Breathing in, breathing out. And we're appreciating the experiences, the sensations, and emotions that we may have, and we try to appreciate these things without judgment or distraction. Some people would say, you know, it's about embracing the here and the now, you know, forget regret or life is yours to mix, to quote Jonathan Larson and the musical Rent, letting go of your anxieties and trying to find your contentment and your peace in the present moment. Now, as my body is getting older, and perhaps yours is doing the same thing as well, if you've reached over the age of 40, 50, or 60, there's new pains that show up occasionally throughout my day. But I'm reminded that I've been given the opportunity to even experience suffering. Now, I'm not trying to equate those everyday pains with suffering, but maybe the chronic pains, you know, the shoulder and neck pains that I get after having two surgeries, those are things that I'm trying to become less focused on. Well, this sucks, I'm in pain today, instead of saying, thank you. I'm glad that I have some pain today because it means that I live life before and I'm going to continue to live life today. Now, that is a different way to experience the sensations of life. But how do we deal with the shocking part of life? The part of life that when I logged in on social media the other day that I was talking about, where I saw somebody who was abusing a child that went to jail and was put on trial first because his son died under his custody. He was making him run on a treadmill and abusing him, telling him he was fat. Well, how can I appreciate that experience? Well, I can appreciate that experience first and foremost by saying, thank God I had parents that didn't abuse me that way. Thank God I had a loving household. Thank God I had loving friends and loving neighbors, people that did not put their hands on me in that way or give me those type of words that would have caused harm. And then I thought about my emotions in that present moment, how angry I got, where I was thinking, give me 15 minutes in the room with that guy that did this to this kid. I would love that 15 minutes. What is that serving me? Outside of it's completely distracting me from my own family. It's completely removing me away from preparing myself, my presence, for my son and my daughter, for my wife. And it's taking me away from the present moment and replacing it with a pain that is not mine. And so, bold Americans, I ask us to think about what pains that are not yours are you putting in place of your own sensations and experiences that may be difficult? Because if you're picking up a cross for somebody else, while that may be noble, it is not your cross. See, if you're focused on your experience, then don't dwell on what other people are going through. Dwell on what are you doing in the present moment to have a better experience. And so as I sat thinking about my past, I started to go, huh, when did I date? And I'm going to just use, you know, a name here that I've never dated Samantha. There we go. When did I date Samantha? And I started thinking about the years that I dated Samantha. I said, when did we break up? And I started thinking about when we broke up. Okay, now when did I meet so-and-so? I started thinking about this person. And when did I stop talking? And what I realized is those details are getting really, really confusing as I get older. But yet I rely so much on my past, and maybe you do the same, to inform my present. I think about previous hurt. I think about previous love. I think about previous success. I think about previous failures. And then how does that equate to who I am today? But if I can't even remember the exact details of those conversations, the exact moments of that love, of that hurt, then why am I still living in the past to compare it to my present moment? And so I offer that to my listeners today, because I realized that if I'm doing this, chances are there's a lot of people that listen to my show that also may compare their past in order to equate where they are in their future or in their present moment. What I'm telling you is, it's an illusion. And this is what came to me when I was meditating about this today. And I hope you guys don't mind the fact that I'm spending the first half of the show kind of going here. You know, I do this show for me first and foremost, and I hope that it resonates with my audience. And so, you know, if this is resonating with you, thanks for sticking with it. If this isn't for you today, you know, I'm going to ask, keep listening, because I think that it's going to offer you something, this thought process. I was thinking about our past, our imprints. Okay. So, you know, if you fall in love a long time ago and it's a love that gets lost, it's an imprint. Now, there's things that we can look at how important this imprint is on your present moment. And I can compare this the way my meditation went with. My meditation showed me a beach where you're walking along the water, and in the present moment, when you look down, your foot leaves an imprint in the beach. That is you being in the present. And you can look back very briefly, and you can still see that perfect imprint. But if you're truly paying attention to it, you'll notice that your foot no longer looks the way it did immediately after it hit the sand. The sand starts the shift. And if you continue to watch that footprint, you'll notice that it will continue to deteriorate and change to a new shape on that sand. Now, if you were to walk over top my footprint, it might be a little bit softer than the rest of the sand along the water. Maybe it made a slight difference. But the way that we remember that it looked will be changed. It does not stay the same. And so too, my meditation told me that it's very similar in that present moment, that we look back on the past and we hope to see our perfect footprints along the sand, along the way, in order to teach us something. But it's not there anymore. When you look back, it's an illusion. It's an ideal that your brain will tell you about a moment that no longer exists. And if that moment no longer exists, what is it in our memory that we're holding on to? Well, we're holding on to the feeling. Perhaps it's the feeling of the last time that I remember that my grandfather reached down and hugged me, and I could feel the stubble on the right side of my face. Perhaps it's the feeling that I had of falling in love with the first person I ever fell in love with. Perhaps it's the feeling that I got the day that I said I do and married my wife. Perhaps it's the feeling I had the first time that I held my daughter and held my son. See, we have these feelings that come up, the imprint on us, but it's no longer the reality of your present moment. So what does this mean? Well, it means that all these distractions that are around us, all this worry that we're putting around us, that we then carry through the day, we need to let go immediately to understand that our brains are already fooling us. Our brains are already trauma-informed as it is, and there's no need to traumatize ourselves further from it. There are only certain things that we can control in this world. We can control our thoughts, we can control our words, and we can control our actions and our intent. Beyond those things, there is nothing in this world that you or I have control over. The past that we live through in the past only has power if we continue to dwell upon it and to try to bring us back to that moment. But I promise you, if you try to remember it in that moment exactly the way it was, you will fail. Sure, we all have those core memories that I've talked about before on the show. We all have those impressionable moments. But when it really comes down to it, the most important thing that we have is the present breath that you're about to take and the exhale that comes after until our final exhale. I'm going to take a quick break here. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about the stories like the way I normally do. But I think this is a thoughtful and good way to begin the show, and I hope that it reached you the way the meditation reached me. I remember back in high school, speaking of the past, there was an album that I really liked. What's the Story? Morning Glory by Oasis. But it had a song that was Don't Look Back in Anger. It opened up with, "Slip inside the eye of your mind. Don't you know you might find a better place to play? You said that you'd never been, but all the things that you've seen slowly fade away." And so I thought, yes, that is probably a good compliment to the first half of the show. But we also cannot look back in anger at times when we see headlines like we saw come out of the New York Times over the weekend. What was the headline? Well, it said, thousands believe COVID vaccines harm them. Is anyone listening? And then they go on to say that all vaccines have at least occasional side effects, but people who say they were injured by COVID vaccines believe their cases have been ignored. To the writer, Apoorva Mandavilli, I want to say thank you for spending time to write this article and putting this out there. I'm not going to look back in anger at everything the New York Times published in the past, calling everything completely safe and 100%, you know, there's not going to be any problems here. I think that this is good that people are finally putting this out there. But I want to correct a little bit of the record here. There are people like myself that have been telling the stories of the vaccine injured for the last 2 years. I've been bringing the cases directly to individuals in order to hear them. People like Kayla Pollock, who is paralyzed with transverse myelitis, talking to the Team Purple coalition led by Susanna Noel. And I also talked to one of the documentary filmmakers way back when, talking about all the different people. There were anecdotals, and the stories have been out there. Why is it then for 2 years you guys ignored these stories, but now people want to pay attention to? And so this story started off with a person much like myself getting a Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And this person said that they felt pain within minutes. And then within days, they were sensitive to light and they struggled to remember simple facts. I, too, found that shortly after I received my Johnson & Johnson, I started slipping words and mixing words up. And I can tell you, that's never really changed since that time. In fact, you can go back and listen to shows by me, both before I ever received it and after, and you will hear these almost spoonerisms, so to speak, that I did not seem to say in my old podcast, in my old media, but I do have them now, and there's nothing I can do about it. I have taken lion's mane to try to help my brain function just a little bit better on finding the words that I need to find. I can still think of them, but when I'm speaking, sometimes it just does not come out. Now, this person, Michelle Zimmerman, was a PhD, a doctor in neuroscience, and she would be riding her bikes 20 miles a day, teaching a dance class. And now 3 years later, she can't do any of that. She's been diagnosed with brain damage. She can't work, drive. She can't stand for long periods of time. And she believes, like I believe, that it could be because of a contaminated vaccine batch. Now, we've talked about this for a while, that there was not a standard put on how much was going to be appearing of these vials. As far as mRNA, it was not going to be standardized, parts per million, so to speak, as far as what people were receiving. And there could have been bad batches, which is why howismybatch.com came about, where people could look up and see, hey, how is mine? Now, hospitalizations and deaths, there's estimated that perhaps this vaccine prevented millions of these. But it also should be estimated and talked about how there has been many people, thousands upon thousands of people, that have filed for vaccine injury compensation, but cannot get anything. In fact, out of 13,000 that were found filed by the New York Times, only 12 were paid out. It was an average of $3,600 per person. That is absolutely pitiful. For the 47 people that were deemed eligible and 12 that have been paid out. If you're okay with that, then we're not on the same page whatsoever. I think an area where this story kind of went south, though, is they started talking about long COVID. But there's been studies just that have come out recently that said that long COVID is likely more something of a diagnosis that is not rooted in a clinical fact, and could be more something to do with people's brains and the way they think about COVID. Because according to these double-blind placebo studies, they found a difference with people who thought that they could get sick with long COVID and people who felt that they could be cured from COVID, and what ended up happening into the future for both of them. And I'm just saying that maybe that's not the place we want to go. Can we just get a study on the vaccinated at this point in time? How hard is that to get some honest data? You know, what the pharmaceutical companies, they have immunity. What are they worried about? I think that, you know, this is an area that we can look back in the past or to live in our present moment and say, hey, mistakes were made. Perhaps some mistakes knowingly were made, and it's time to compensate people and to move forward. What I don't understand is people like Donald Trump. Donald Trump continues to be completely blinded by his allegiance to the point where it seems like he has some type of non-disclosure agreement that he wrote up with the pharmaceutical companies before they made that deal. Or, as I brought up on my show on Friday with Chris Michaels, it seems like Donald Trump took some money at some point in time in order to not talk about the bad parts or what he might also discover that he knows about those that had been vaccinated. Now, that's just my thoughts on everything, but wonder what you think. Now, on Friday's show, we also broke news. We confirmed that Donald Trump would be speaking at the Libertarian Party convention. And on that show, when we confirmed that, it was Dr. Mavrikakis, she came on, and she sounded very excited. I was pushing back a bit, saying, you know, is this a good thing for the Libertarian Party? Because I don't believe that it is. Let's think about this. You're going to tell me that you're the party of principle, the party of having individuals that are upset with the two-party duopoly that's been installed into our country for the last 100 years, and you're now going to allow part of that duopoly, and not just part of that duopoly, but a very, very divisive part of the duopoly, a figure that has not just decimated the Republican Party, but is now the new brand and face of the Republican Party that no one's really, people are afraid to go up against it. Let's think about how libertarian Donald Trump is. And this was written actually by Andrew Amelon in the Libertarian Party of Texas members that put a response out. And these are some of the things we already talked about, like spearheading Operation Warp Speed, which led to ill-tested vaccines and a lockdown regime. But he also goes on to talk about the $8.4 trillion in our national debt that was gained during his office term, which, by the way, was only 4 years. $8.4 trillion does not sound like a very libertarian principled thing to do. Or when Donald Trump said, well, we'll take the guns first and go through due process second. That doesn't sound very libertarian or protecting your Second Amendment rights. Makes me wonder what type of First Amendment rights Donald Trump would protect. Or the Libertarian Party seems to love to talk about Julian Assange, love to talk about Edward Snowden. And wasn't it Donald Trump that said that Edward Snowden should be put to death for what he did? No, I'm sorry. Edward Snowden is an actual American patriot that put information out that we should know. He put out the ability for us to know in a transparent way that the government was spying on their own citizens and doing so in violating many of their constitutional rights. And also, the Texas Libertarian Party was smart to point out that he did not bring an end to the conflict in Afghanistan, which also would show that he wasn't very libertarian in trying to end all wars. I will say that at least Donald Trump did not get us into any new wars during that time. But let's take this for what it is. This is Donald Trump that's going to go down there, and he's going to try to say to these delegates that, hey, I'm here. You know, we got a message. We got a really important election to win. But it's going to be very important that you get your delegates to vote for me. I don't understand how this is being allowed at the Libertarian Convention. Now, perhaps this will be overthrown in some way, shape, or form. Like they'll rescind the invitation to Donald Trump. But I don't think that that's going to happen. Now, Dr. Mavrikakis also said they made the same invite to Joe Biden and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Well, I also got a letter sent by several members of the Libertarian Party that was sent to RFK Jr. that I thought was pretty shocking. Apparently, there are libertarians for Kennedy. How the hell does that work out? How can you be a libertarian and voting to try to get your delegates to go for somebody who I think is like not whatsoever a libertarian? He's a progressive to the core. How do they get Mr. Kennedy being lobbied by people that are part of the chair of the Libertarian Party in Washington, D.C., Florida, Colorado, Tennessee, California, Vermont, Minnesota, and Nebraska? How? All those people, your constituents that have elected you up to the chair of the party in your states, should be asking for your immediate removal. They would like him to seek the presidential nomination for the Libertarian Party. I'll tell you why this really ticks me off. Then you've just wasted the time, talent, and efforts of, Michael Rechtenwald. Mars Lapsteed, Aaron Day when he was participating in the Libertarian. Mike Termott, who, by the way, I'm going to have Mike Termott on the show live on Wednesday at 5 p.m. So if you want to get his take after he's been running for president for the last 2 years to get the nomination from the Libertarian Party, what it's like to have these people, and I'm saying these people, these chairs, try to get all of a sudden Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is anything but a libertarian, to be the candidate. Well, we're going to ask that question directly to him on Wednesday on all my socials. So type in America Emboldened wherever you get shows, or you can join my patreon.com/America Emboldened where you can watch it there. Help subscribe, help grow the show, by the way. It always could use your support. Or at Real Greg Bolden on X. And we can get some information from Mike Termott, find out how he feels about all this. I don't feel good about this whatsoever. I think the Libertarian Party is making a big mistake. Now, I'm a small L libertarian from what I've been told. I'm really independent in many ways, try to see things and cut through the BS and get to what the actual facts are. But I can tell you one thing that I definitely am not. One thing that I don't think anybody would be able to say with any type of you wouldn't be able to put any evidence on this claim. I don't believe, and I hope that you never do, because I can't stand Nazis, but for somebody to text me based upon our show last week that they felt that I was basically being a Nazi sympathizer, by, you know, being excited over Donald Trump at least coming to the Libertarian Party convention, by calling out HR 6090, screw you. There is no place whatsoever in this world for anti-Semitism. I don't think I need to say that anymore. There is no place for prejudice against Jewish people, hostilities, or calls for them whatsoever. Just as there's no place for racism based upon the color of people's skin, xenophobia based upon somebody being from a different country. People that deduce human beings down to a race, down to a skin tone, you are vile individuals. We are all human. We are all the same underneath this vehicle that we all inhabit, that we should be spending a lot more time looking at. Now, if Chris Michaels is unleashed on this news network, then the person that texted us that this was anti-Semitic, or that we always would want to go there, or supporting Nazis, that person is unhinged. And I'm going to leave it at that. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, I hope that I honored your time well, gave you some food for thought at the top of the show, and took you through some things. We'll be back this week. Make sure you're checking out the live shows. Chris Michaels and I go live every single night between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. And it's only for 15, 20 minutes. We cover some quick topics, get you to laugh a few times, have a good time. It's a little bit different than the format of the podcast. I think you'll really enjoy it, but you got to go to all the social media networks, type in America Emboldened or at Real Greg Bolden in order to get it. And once again, make sure you're going to the Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericaEmboldened, where you can support the show by subscribing. So make sure you go do that right now. Run, don't walk. All right, everybody, you've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Be bold, America.